This book is very much a visual ethnography. We used some 20,000 digital photographs for 32 families' homes as the basis of the analysis, and we went in and looked for themes, for patterns, in how families were using their homes and the kinds of things that they imported into various home spaces. Kitchens, for example, were these centers of intensive and frequent activity.
If you look at the data points of where family members are every 10 minutes, you'll see lots and lots of little dots that are in the kitchen. And that's because the kitchen is used for almost everything else. But it's used for eating, but it's also used for a lot of other things. If there's going to be a clock in the house, the clock is going to be in the kitchen, because the kitchen is what Anthony calls the command center of the house.
Everything transpires in kitchens, and activities are organized, schedules are coordinated, plans are made for the next day, meals are cooked, kids are doing homework in kitchen spaces, very, very intensively used. And a lot of the material culture in kitchens speaks to this logistical center of everyday family life.
I think of the table itself as kind of a touchstone. It's the place where everyone wants to aggregate, even when there are wonderful facilities that were designed for the kids to do their homework, for example. Inevitably, they're out at the kitchen table, and that's convenient for the moms, too, of course. They can do childcare. They can multitask with dinner preparation and childcare.
That is our refrigerator, or was our refrigerator. I mean, I look at these, and it just gives me joy to see this stuff, because these were treasures that were very near and dear.
Yeah, it's amazing how the refrigerator is a site of memories and plans. And
yes, this is memories. So
one of the studies that Jean and Anthony did was look at the family refrigerator door as a major site of this kind of nostalgia and sentimentality for the family, looking at how many different photographs and other personal things about children's art and lots of little things about the family that went on the door, so much that you can't even see the door. The door is just filled with the family culture, the family history.
There seems to be a kind of a correlation between how much stuff is on the refrigerator panel door and how much stuff is in the broader home.
So there's still, like, these are notices for dentist appointments, but those are one-timers.
And these are school.
This is all, you know, if your kid's going to be sick, how do you call in sick? Because I never remember how to do that. A school calendar for the days.
And this pizza?
These are pizza coupons that Lucas, now look at, this is going to, because this shows stuff gets up here and it never, ever leaves. I think the expiration date on these is like 2 years ago.
We also found some interesting patterns that emerged in bathrooms. Bathrooms are where we start the day, right? And so we put on our face, we put on our clothes, we look at ourselves, we check in, we make sure that everything's there. We psych up for the workplace and for school. And so they end up being these anticipatory spaces where we're anticipating the day to come.
Not only is my fridge the site of, but our bathroom mirror has become the schedule central. Because we have a really big bathroom mirror, so anything that the kids are doing that's important gets taped up there. Because I won't always open the fridge first thing in the morning, but I will always brush my teeth and look at myself in the mirror.
Bathrooms are also perhaps one of the most contested resources in families' homes. A lot of the families' homes that we were in had only one bathroom. And when you have to cycle everyone through that space within a span of about 30 to 45 minutes before shuffling everyone off to school and work, it can be stressful. You're coordinating opportunities to visit the bathroom. As a result, we found that there's a lot of sharing and family strategies for dealing with this very finite and limited resources. Stack multiple people in there. And because of that, these were interesting sites of child socialization.
One of the clear ideals of these parents is to create a master bedroom environment that represents a retreat, a spa-like retreat from the crazy chaos in the rest of the house.
This is perhaps one of the least intensively used rooms in the home. Not a lot of activities were unfolding in master bedrooms. But what you might find surprising is that this, out of all other home spaces, this was prioritized more frequently as a space for remodeling. In 2004, the average cost of creating a master suite in the greater Los Angeles area was about $80,000.
Their money would have been much better spent on places that are clear bottlenecks in these homes, bathrooms that are overly busy during the morning rush, or kitchens that are often described by the family members themselves as too small, too out of date.
I can think of nothing that more potently speaks to the significance of this space to parents. And we might even think of the master suite as a symbolic space. If they're like my family, you just crash, you fall asleep because you're tired and you're exhausted. But you get to wake up in that space. And these are spaces that were made to look more hotel-like, look more resort-like. And they were intentionally decluttered as well. And so this is opportunity for parents to wake up in a space that looks qualitatively different than the rest of their home. And for that reason, because of that, parents might have conferred some kind of restorative benefits out of this. This is a place to charge your batteries, a place of refuge to prepare yourself before you go back out and face all of the work that is contemporary American family households and beyond.